The Reverend Dr. Teresa Danieli, St. Louis Champions organizer at Missouri Jobs with Justice, was scheduled to be in our pulpit today to share with us some of the ways we can each indeed be doers of God's word. Unfortunately, earlier this week, her husband felt unwell and tested positive for COVID, even though both he and Teresa are fully vaccinated. Subsequently, their three young, under 12 years of age children and Teresa have all tested positive, and the whole family is in isolation at home. I texted with her yesterday, and she and her husband John are the ones feeling the most ill, and the children are lively. Please hold the Danieli family in your prayers. I was drawn to the letter of James in my quick reading to cover our sermon time today, and yet at the same time, I was caught up in the ever-unfolding news as yet another storm hit the already much beleaguered people of Haiti, threatened the Gulf Coast and eastern seaboard with deadly flash flooding in Tennessee, killing 21 people. And as well, there are the seriously unfolding dangers in Afghanistan. The fall of Kabul to the Taliban has opened wide doors of fear, especially for women, girls, for Americans and Afghans who worked closely with American troops and leaders. The chaos of the sudden takeover has invited ISIS and related groups to move in with hatred and deliberate intent to take lives in the midst of the chaos of the present void in government and humanitarian efforts to remove Americans and those in danger at the airport. So our nation deeply mourns the loss of 13 United States service members and 79 or more Afghan citizens killed by a suicide bomber near the airport this week. Our brave and dedicated service members are there on a desperate humanitarian mission. So we pray for grieving families and offer profound care for the sacrifice made and continuing to be made even in the face of credible threats. We hold in our prayers the ultimate sacrifice of beloved lives, serving in care for human life on a distant shore, to whom they and we are connected in our common humanity. And now we have another storm starting already on this anniversary of Katrina, right in the Louisiana coast. And I heard their governor talking on my way to church this morning saying that it's expected to be the worst storm since the Civil War. So pray, please hold people in prayer. Around the world, here in the US, right here in Missouri, here in St. Louis, here around us in this neighborhood, there are so many daily losses and lives at risk in many places of disparity, injustice, and the deep needs that are kept from open view and open, caring conversation that call for our fervent prayers. In addition to fervent prayers said privately or communally, people of faith are reminded to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. To take our prayer to action into the world in God's love. These days of deep public divide, getting vaccinated is doing in active care for the other. Wearing a mask is doing a public act in care for the welfare of those most vulnerable among us. There are so many more ways that we can hear God's call to love our neighbor and share our resources in becoming living prayers, doers of the word that call us to be God's love alive in this broken world. Today's reading from James' letter begins with a reminder that every gift comes from God. We have been given a new birth by the word of truth. So we are connected to Christ as first fruits of God's creation. This is the basis for all our behavior toward others. And so we are called to be slow to anger, for our anger does not produce God's righteousness. Blessings come from our being doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive ourselves. As Archie Smith writes in his commentary, according to James, we cannot bring about God's righteousness through revengeful or evil speech, which only spread destruction. Get rid of that way of being in the world, he counsels us. Destructive anger can poison our own lives and then that of the community as well. It cannot bring new meaning, healing, and hope to life or inspire our creative care. Destructive acts can never be the means for illuminating God's presence or making room for divine goodness in our lives. As theologian and commentator Laura Swett Holmes writes, James is asking the church to imitate the God we worship. James asks the church not to forget who we are, but rather to be shaped by the wisdom of God that God has planted in our hearts. James tells the congregation that they will be blessed as they live out God's law of love. This blessing promises joy in unexpected and counterintuitive places. It does not mean that acting in accordance with the law of love is ever easy. Rather, it affirms that God will bless the action, the doer and the receiver. Our priorities not only illustrate the way we've been formed in our faith, they also become part of that formation itself. To become the people God has called us to be, this faith, this hearing of the law, has to be embodied. As we study the word, we take into ourselves the wisdom of God, and our anger is turned to God's righteousness. Turn into words of justice and acts of loving mercy. Living our faith calls us to speak God's wisdom into places where silence too often allows injustice to reign. As the confession reminds us, we confess things done on our behalf. Several years ago, the rock group REM recorded a hit single entitled "Losing My Religion." At one point, the lyrics say, "Oh no, I've said too much. I haven't said enough." These words express the struggle of religious people in today's society. Knowing when to speak up, knowing when to keep silent. There have been times when I've spoken when I should have kept silent. Don't say anything, Shep. There have also been times when facing issues of fairness and justice, I didn't say enough. Radio and television are filled with people who speak religious words. Pulpits are filled with clergy who seek to convey religious messages to congregations. Denominations and churches debate matters of faith and practice. Religious leaders appear on talk shows and argue opposing views with angry voices. And at the same time this religious talk is taking place, there are so many people in society who are suffering and crying out for justice. As the gap between the rich and the poor in our country and the world continues to widen, many Christians choose to remain silent. As the cost of health care rises and access to adequate health care decreases for millions around the world, many remain silent. Thousands of people, many children, die each day as a result of starvation right here in our city, in our state, in our country, around the world. God's doers, speakers, God's love and action are needed desperately. Today's readings give us pause to think about our faith and ponder the call that we each have in life to make life better for someone else, for another. To embrace Christ's ministry and mission, and to discern deeply what words we can speak on behalf of the world's hungry, unsheltered, and impoverished. Those grieving loved ones dead at the hand of another day after day after day. Those suffering with addictions, physical and brain health challenges, and so much more. And then to put our actions and our gifts, tangible and intangible, where our words of faith are. That is truly the gift and the challenge of our faith. James calls us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Consistency between word and action, between belief and practice, is our call. God's word is the word we are to not only hear, but do. The word we are called to express in our words and our actions. Nowhere in the four Gospels was Jesus ever astounded by anyone's righteousness. Never was he impressed by an individual's education, cleverness, or ritual precision. Only one thing amazed him: true faith. This faith came from the heart, the most important anatomical term in Scripture. The heart held this unequaled significance, and not because it pumped blood through the body, nor was it because this fist-sized organ does enough equivalent work in 1 hour to lift a weight of 1.4 metric tons more than a foot off the ground, or because when it stops beating, you stop living. It was because the heart was the center of the emotions, the source of wisdom, understanding, and discernment. It was the axis of decision, making and committing in the life of a human being. And according to Jesus, the heart was like an inner umbilical cord to the spiritual realm. It was the entry point of joy, love, courage, of pride, ill temper, and general evil. The heart could be clear as a mountain stream or as soiled as industrial pollution. And generally speaking, it's often a mixture of the two. Psalm 51, verse 10 reads, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." Therein lies the answer to true faith. And the good news of the gospel is that the living water of the Holy Spirit awaits our opening the valves of our hearts to let the word of God animate our lives in love. Let it open our ears to the word of God. Open our mouths to speak in God's name. Open our arms to do God's work in the world. Modern medicine might not have found a foolproof answer to heart disease, but Jesus proclaims that there is a cure. The grace of a loving God and the willingness to become new from the inside out. Today we offer one immediate opportunity to be doers of God's word, to be God's heart beating in love. This Tuesday, August 31st, is International Overdose Awareness Day. More than 90,000 people died of a drug overdose in the United States in 2020, a record high according to the CDC. Overdose deaths increased by almost 30% since the beginning of the pandemic and rose over 50% in some states. So what might we do? There's an orange flyer in your bulletin today. Check into the various websites provided. Find one thing you can do, one thing to support policy change maybe, or donate. Learn about harm reduction. Learn about the harm reduction hotline and share where needed. Or volunteer, if possible, to support our local agencies working in harm reduction. Wear the purple ribbon. If you didn't get one on your way in, you can get one on your way out. Wear it as a public witness, and when asked about it, share what you learned. Spread the ways we can all support harm reduction so desperately needed. As many of the Afghan people being taken to safety arrive among us, we have another opportunity to live God's word. Contact the International Institute here in St. Louis. Ask, what do the people who are coming here need? So that they can plant their lives, their hopes, their dreams, and their skills among us, us, their neighbors and friends. Don't be just doers of the word. Be spreaders of the word as well. Hear the word, take it into your heart. Live God's love in extraordinary ways. I want to close with words of Hildegard of Bingen. Holy Spirit, giving life to all life, moving all creatures, root of all things, washing them clean, wiping out their mistakes, healing their wounds, you are our true life. Luminous, wonderful, awakening the heart from its ancient sleep. Amen.